Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. This is Ramble Rouse and Rich Bergeron.
Yes, it's the tornado.
Oh, my God. Do we have enough to cover this week? I don't know. I'm sure we do. And we have two guests tonight instead of one. So, action-packed for sure. Floyd Mayweather in the news, more ways than one. More bad ways than one, too. Than good, I should say. Let's see, where do we start? Big story is, of course, Ray Rice. A punch out of the ring, of course, at a casino in an elevator. Making the news because now there's a video, and Floyd Mayweather is still coming out and opening his big mouth, putting his money where his mouth is, I guess. And he says, yeah, the NFL was a little too harsh on Ray Rice. So now everybody's up in arms against him and going after him. Almost as fast as going after Ray Rice. Now, yeah, on top of that, you know, of course, he spent 90 days in jail, or close to 90 days, not quite 90 days, for smacking around one of his exes. And right in front of the kids, so not quite the person who should be out there on the front lines of this issue. Bad idea to open your mouth there, Floyd. And on top of that, his ex-girlfriend, his recent ex-girlfriend that I saw wearing the big ring out there in Vegas in his gym, she is suing him, thanks to Gloria Allred coming to her rescue. For all kinds of crazy charges. So, on top of that, he has a fight coming up Saturday. You think he has enough distractions for Maidana to sneak in a victory, Tony?
Yeah, well, as you saw, I mean, you did go back to my article. What did I say? The guy's got—he loves to be in the limelight, and he loves to, you know, be doing everything, and flying on his private jet, getting on sports events, arguments with 50 Cent. You know, this and that, this and that. And then it's like, you're arguing for fans, showing up, you know, just loves being out in the limelight, running his mouth, being in the public eye. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you got a fight you got to do. Reminds me kind of like in the first Rocky movie. You know, Apollo was clearly the better trained fighter, clearly the superior athlete. And you see, you know, his trainer's watching Rocky and pounding inside the police. He's like, yo, man, watch this kid. He's serious. And that's Maidana right now. Maidana's serious. I mean, he's limited skill, but he's coming out there, you know, coming to win. And Mayweather's like, yeah, I'm serious, too. Well, can I get another cup of coffee? That's like the scene in the first Rocky movie. Seriously. That's the best way I can attribute it. Did you ever post that article?
Yes, I did. I know I used it to the link, but I didn't this time.
Yeah, I have to look up. I want you to obviously want to send it up to my region of fans.
Just look up the best Floyd Mayweather versus Maidana 2 preview ever.
Okay, I'll do that. I think I might do that right now. You know, because I got my tornado maniacs out there, and they need to know what's going on.
Yeah, usually when you put it out there, you get a lot of people's eyes on it, so good job on that. Not too shabby. Okay, so 8 views so far, according to this, but it's refreshed a long time ago. Gotta get the first ship up. I will send you the link as soon as possible.
Okay.
But anyway, of course, we got a lot of UFC news, too. And kind of along the same lines as Ray Rice, too, in the UFC. There's a big story there. It's not getting the same attention, even though it involves a firearm. Maybe Tom can weigh in on this whenever he gets chimed in. Here he is, 51 seconds on hold. Tom!
All right. Back at it here. Man, sorry about the confusion last week, but that was a madhouse.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Anyway, we missed your perspective on MMA. We got an MMA story here. We've just been talking about Floyd Mayweather running his mouth about Ray Rice.
Yeah.
Digging a deeper hole for himself. That's saw a reporter actually ask him, you know, do you think you get preferential treatments? You know, because you bring money to the town, and every time you fight, you live here, and all that. And Floyd says, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I got to concentrate on my data. Questions with equal skill. But anyway, I was just telling Tony there's a question in the May that I think much worse than Mayweather's and Ray Rice's. Thiago Silva was invited back with open arms to the UFC after his wife left the country. Obviously because she was either scared of him or she did not want to testify against him. So they dropped the charges against him. But his situation involved a gun. He had it tasered by the police. He threatened two different people to fight. And the guys there with. And he was actually originally charged with 2 counts of attempted murder, downgraded to 2 counts of aggravated assault with a firearm. And just basically the only reason the charges were dropped, you know, admittedly, were his wife was uncooperative and has left the country. Come in, Dana White has put his rubber stamp on Thiago coming back. Right before the real life thing exploded, this came out. So maybe they didn't make the connection. But, I think this is bad news. You know, you've got this whole program, the code of conduct and all that, trying to pop, and you bring a guy like this back into the fold. It's not a guy that's, you know, superstar material either. He's kind of along those same lines of Ray Rice, because I don't even think Ray Rice is that big a deal anymore.
Yeah.
He wasn't for my fantasy football team last year, that's for sure.
Well, I wonder if Dana feels that he's not under the same microscope as Roger Goodell.
No.
And it's just going to blow over and no one's going to make a big deal out of it.
Oh, it has so far.
Yeah.
Big event over the weekend. Big UFC event, of course. A lot of big fights coming up. We got, of course, Mayweather versus Maidana Sue. All the undercard fights. Tonight, our guests are Joey Vizzi and Francisco Palacios. I think we've had on before because his number's in the system here on my computer, so I think we've had him on before, but he actually, his last fight was 2012, I think, and lost it to Christoph Wodarczyk, and it was this is only his second loss, and his first loss was to the same guy for a title, so it's a pretty big cruiserweight out there trying to make a comeback now. Down in Florida in a show that he's co-promoting. One of Matt Yanofsky's guys. Got to give a shout-out to Matt. Fast-talking Matt. And we also have Joey Vizzi, who's an amateur boxer. And he's going to be boxing same day as Palacios, September 20th. Palacios is fighting in Orlando, and Vizzi is fighting in Baltimore. Stuff there. You know who's also fighting on September 20th, Tony?
Yeah.
Jeff Lacy and Rico War Saunders.
Yeah, how about that? I saw Jeff Lacy's last fight, and I don't think he should be fighting anymore. I don't even remember the name of the guy he fought, but he came in basically as the opponent. Jeff Lacy did. I mean, he came in there. He was, you know when, like, you have a young up-and-coming contender, you know, bring him in and come against, like, a faded global champion contender, and your job is to blow that guy out. Well, that's what happened to Jeff Lacy. Off the top of my head, or at the box record, I don't remember the name of the guy that he fought. I forget if it was on Showtime or ESPN. absolutely got blown out in two rounds. I mean, he got absolutely destroyed.
Well, I'll tell you the thing about that one. He's fighting Rico Saunders, who's still trying to kind of get over his 500 mark on his record. That's a great matchup. For the main event in Washington, D.C. Also on the card is our former guest, our number one broadcast ever on Blog Talk Radio, Hector Camacho Jr., fighting Brian Davis. Another former guest of ours, Demarcus Corley, is on the card against Daniel Mata. Those are all 10-round fights. And pretty decent card there already. Another story that I just put on the blog not too long ago from Matt Yanofsky is Christian Camacho coming out of the woodwork, another son of the former Hector Camacho Sr., living, I should say. But anyway, Orlando Francisco Palacios is fighting Epifanio Mendoza. Pretty tough guy. Most of his wins have been by knockout. There's also a cruiserweight fight between Carlos Negron and Joseph Rabat. That's a six-rounder. Heavyweights Michael Marrone and Robert Dutton will fight. And Buddy McGirt Jr. is on the card at middleweight, fighting a six-rounder against Rahman Mustafa Yuzubov. All on that Orlando card there. So pretty good stuff. But of course, we have big weekend fights to talk about. Jeff Lacy, last opponent, was, drum roll please, Humberto Savine, who was 12-1 and knocked him out in the second round. Lacy was down in the first. It was for the WBC Latino heavyweight title.
It was not a good fight to watch. It was, pretty sad. I remember Jeff Lacy coming out of the Olympics.
What? Blood was coming out of his ears? Is that what you said?
Wow.
I remember when Jeff Lacy coming out of the Olympics.
You know, in the opinion of both you guys, what in the world happened to Lacy? Because it seems like he had all the promise and potential on the planet, and then all of a sudden, bang. Do you think it was one fight, or was it something outside of the ring? What do you guys think?
Well, I know
he had an injury. Yeah, he had a shoulder injury. They're really
out of him.
Right? Didn't he have a rotator cuff or something he ripped off?
Well, he had a shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
But then he took a pretty hellacious beating from Joe Calzaghe, too. I mean, I remember the fight with Calzaghe. I mean, he was cut up pretty bad. I mean, he was busted up pretty good in that fight. And that, along with the shoulder, really, I think, took a lot out of him. That was physically, but I think it probably said psychological.
Well, I'm waiting for the rest of the schedule to load. Pretty interesting story in the UFC the other night. Ben Rothwell beat up Alistair Overeem. And he complained about dirty fighting afterwards, too, even though he won. Sore winner, I guess.
I love that phrase. Sore winner. Yeah, I guess he was upset about those karate sidekicks to the knee, I guess. I think that was the issue. Which are not illegal, by the way.
No, not illegal. It's just not like NFL players going for the knees. According to him, you just don't do it. And it's a matter of respect. But actually, they said that it looks like Overeem got that technique from John Jones. And I don't think anybody's complained about John Jones using that same technique.
Oh, I've heard a few rumblings about that with Jones.
All right, well, I stand corrected. But he scored the unbelievable knockout of Overeem. And that was just all the show here.
So now the $64,000 question, what's left of Overeem? Now, was this more a matter of Rothwell looking, you know, really putting his career together and moving up, or Overeem moving down? And where does Overeem go from here? Where does Rothwell go from here? That's another big one, too. It looks like he's right back in the picture now.
Yeah, it's interesting because both guys have a history with performance-enhancing drugs, if you want to call it. Rothwell, I don't think, was ever caught for any, you know, under-the-counter stuff. But he has been doing TRT in the past. And this was his first fight off TRT. And at the same time, obviously, according to most people you'd ask, been doing something over the years because of the size difference between when he first started combat sports and right now. And obviously he's been popped for it. So the problem with him, I think, is that he's under such an intense spotlight, he can't do that stuff anymore. So he doesn't have that inner rage that he had when he was on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently
yeah.
He's hurting people in training than he is in the actual fight. So, I think that's the big problem with him. But, you know, he's still a big name. I wasn't surprised that the UFC didn't cut him right away. I think they're going to give him at least one more fight. See what happens. There's actually a pretty decent-sized heavyweight division of guys that are never going to get a title shot. That he can face. So, I'm not worried about him. And I'm sure he's not too worried either about his own career. And he probably should be. I think he comes back a lot to defense because he had a smart game plan going in, but he just didn't defend the punches that well. He obviously underestimated Rockwell. And Rockwell's kind of sometimes like Fedor. Fedor comes out of him. He comes out right hand out of nowhere and gets the knockout. So. And we also got to talk about Bellator because Bellator happened the same night. UFC had kind of dueling cards there with Bellator. I watched a lot of that. So let me bring it up first. I can find it. But, Tom, while I'm loading this stuff up, why don't you tell us about why you missed the show last week and how much fun you had out was it Vegas again?
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But, yeah, we had a wild card, and Chris Tognoni, I know you'd recognize him when you see him. He's refed a lot of UFC fights, and before that, a lot of K-1 fights. And we had an amateur Muay Thai fight. It was just almost like a Rocky movie. I mean, it was just back and forth and ebb and flow and just incredible. And it was the amateur debut of both guys. And Chris told me after the fight that it was probably the best amateur Muay Thai fight that he'd ever seen. And this guy's been around forever. So we had a pretty interesting card. I've sent you guys my recap. But more interesting, and I may have mentioned this in one of my emails since I've been back, that Brent is trying to come up with the idea of a reality TV show that is going to try to be more along the lines of The Apprentice than The Ultimate Fighter. And the theory behind it is, the guys will live in the fighter's house, and there'll only be six of them initially. And he was hoping to get two girls and four guys, but it's been a little tough getting the girls. So, and I've just finished the promotion to try to get the guys, because they wanted to try to get this thing going by next week. And the idea is in the morning they'll do their strength and conditioning, and then they'll put in about 4 hours worth of work at the Real Water headquarters. And then in the afternoon or evening, they'll train various disciplines in Las Vegas. Like, say, one night will be straight-up boxing. The next night, BJJ. The next night, Muay Thai. The next night, wrestling. And then one night a week, just pure MMA, and try to tie it all together. Saturday will be sort of an easy workout, and Sunday will be R&R. And this will go on for about 2 months till our next card. And then and our next card is scheduled for November. So they'll, at that point, and they'll be graded on their attitude in the house, and they'll be given responsibilities in the house and how they handle the work assignment. And at that point, we'll see how they do in the cage, and then there'll be a committee of fighters and businessmen to sit down and give them the Donald Trump treatment. That if they feel they have potential, they'll let them stay for another cycle. If not, they will hear those two dreaded words, "You're fired." And then they'll start the cycle all over again. Now, Brent's plans for this is he wants to market it locally in the Las Vegas area, and if he can find some coverage there, then the next step would be to go for a national outlet like Spike or something like that. So kind of exciting. We'll see where it goes. You got to admit, it's a very different idea, because most of these shows, if we go back to The Contender and then The Ultimate Fighter, the guys would fight each other. Well, that's not the idea behind this one. So we'll see what happens.
Heck yeah.
And, so, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of uncharted waters. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, you know, if you're going to do a show nowadays, reality show in particular, you have to have a sort of different format, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The Ultimate Fighter obviously took the best idea and ran with it. But I think the main thing about that show is there's always fights on every episode. And, you know, it wasn't a lot of training. But you got every aspect of the situation. You got a little bit of stuff going on in the house, a little bit of stuff going on in training, and then the fight. So once they got that format down, you know, I think every show that they fought to get in the house has been better than the show that they've just been taking to come on. But overall,
well,
it's a great way to promote.
Yeah, and I know last night on the UFC News, Dana White said that he is considering some changes to the format of The Ultimate Fighter. So we'll see where that goes. And also, as I mentioned to you guys in the email, I made some other contacts out there. We've got Maurice the Gorilla Jackson, and he's a top 20 Bellator heavyweight, and he's interested in coming on the show, so I have some contact information for him when we get a little time there. And a few other ones. So Brent says he'd like to be on the show, so we'll just I don't think we'll have a shortage of guests.
Well, should be all right. Anyway, as far as the UFC card goes, we had the main event there was Ronald Souza and Gegard Mousasi. As I said last week, this was a rematch of a fight from years ago. Souza did not look dominant, so to speak, but in the third round, seconds left to go, he was able to sink a guillotine choke on Sassi. Really never should have taken the fight to the ground in the first place, because it was just totally outclassed there. Souza is not a very entertaining fighter, but he'll grapple with you until he gets what he wants to get. You better watch out for that at all times. And now they're talking about giving him a title shot, or at least an eliminator fight. So we're going to have to keep an eye on him there. off, he's still a gamer. I just he's another guy. He just doesn't really have that great of a technique sometimes, especially with Bowser's style. And I really didn't even think this fight was very entertaining. I was looking away most of the time, rather than paying attention. Many of the fights leading up to it were very entertaining, very tense and quick. Talked about Rothwell and Overeem. That ended 19 into the first round. Overeem got caught by a really short punch, down like a bag of tomatoes. That was good. And that took out Derek with his shorter punch. I don't even know how that ended up landing like it did. It was like the Bruce Lee one-inch punch. 41 seconds into the first round, Matt Mitrione took their loss out, making up for his lack of a fight against Stefan Struve not so long ago. And it was a little controversy in the Joe versus Michael Chiesa fight. It was turning out to be pretty back and forth until the second round when I think it was an elbow opened up Chiesa's eye. He was dripping blood right into his eye, and I think it was just so huge. You could almost see his brain, so the doctor came in there and stopped it. At the 2:14 mark of the second round there, we had John Moraga beat Justin by guillotine choke, 47 seconds. Second round, Emily Kita beat Rodrigo Dam by TKO punches and elbows, and Rafael Natal beat Chris Camozzi by split decision and unanimous decisions. Chris Beal beating Tateki Matsuda, and Chad Skelly in the first fight of the night beating Sean Sorbiano. Of course, we got the big foot Arlovski card coming up this weekend, September 13th, actually, Saturday, from Brazil, so I'm sure it's going to be at a funky time. We'll get to that a little later, probably, because we only got 3 minutes to go. Till our first guest, Joey Vizzi. Even though I shouldn't really say this, I'm kind of hoping for a Kung Lee interview of the one person tonight. Yes. No. Yes.
That was a fun interview. We really had to work hard on that one.
Anyway, Bellator also last Friday night, and Pat Curran versus Patricio Barrier was the main event there. And what a fight that was. Pretty impressive. And I don't know why they've got the totally wrong fight at the top here. But anyway, that was a great fight. Back and forth. Friere ended up getting the unanimous decision. I thought that was a good decision, but Pat Curran made it close, and really the only thing you could fault him on is he just was not busy enough. And I think it was a totally different fight than their first fight as well. Friere, for a guy with not much reach, was able to land a lot of shots on Curran. And it's actually one of those fights that kind of makes you worry about head trauma for both guys. Because they were really slugging it out at one point. And, man, tough guys, both of them. So Friere ends up getting the belt there. We also had Pete Rogers Jr. beat Philip Martinez by first-round knockout 11 seconds into their fight. Guy used to watch in Massachusetts, Mark Griffin, lost by armbar submission 37 seconds into his fight with Mike Musatelli. And, of course, we had Mola Wall on the card. He beat Dustin Jacoby by punches, TKO, in the second round, 113 into the second round. Had Camden McCrory beat Brennan Ward in one of the most vicious knockouts of that whole card. He was really mean-mugging afterwards. He was very excited about it. More power to him. But 21 seconds into the first round, McCrory took out Brennan Ward. Bobby Lashley successfully beating up Josh Burns by rear naked choke submission. And Josh Burns, not the most physically fit specimen out there. It was ugly. It kind of reminded me of the old school lots of blood wrestling matches, you know, lots of fake blood. But it was real. And Josh's bald head was all cut the fuck up. And this guy was still slugging for all he was worth. Looked like he was about to have a heart attack in there. And Bobby Lashley was just beating him up the whole time. Finally got him into this weird scope. And if he hadn't, he would have gone to the third round and done a lot more help than he did to Lashley. But I think really the fight of the night, as far as what I expected to happen and what actually happened, Czech Congo beating LeVar Johnson. Anybody who's looked at the show knows I pretty much think Congo is way overrated. But he really proved himself against LeVar Johnson. Johnson came out wanting to take his head off, and Congo just kind of remained relaxed and ended up getting his own rear naked choke submission. Just 3:27 in the first round. They also had Dan Kramer beat Terry Filkins by unanimous decision. Scott Cleave beat Matt Bissett by UD. And Josh Diekman, another guy I used to watch all the time, down in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Looks like a totally different guy now. A different beard, a different body type, and just out for blood. He was a monster the other night. Third fight of the night, he made it only last about 47 seconds. Punched his knockout over Mike Wessel. We had Steve Garcia beat Ken Moy by split decision, and Rico Disculio beat Marvin Aldonado by unanimous. Man. There you have it for the past week's events. We also had a big boxing match last week. The main event was Broner versus Taylor, Emmanuel Taylor versus Adrian Broner.
I got to watch the card, and to recap on it before we get our guests on. Steve Upshur says Andre Berto. Steve just didn't have it. He had a few good moments, but he just didn't have it. Broner was hard enough, Broner. Matisse landed a good body shot, and his opponent went down. I thought he hit each other. Waved him off when the guy was up at the counter. But when the guy put his mouth, he put his head down, that hurt his chances. But he still attacked his only seat at the counter. The fight should have continued. But Benji may have done him a favor by stopping it. And the Broner fight, Emmanuel Taylor put up a good effort. He ended some clean shots. It was close. Broner pulled away in the second half. And a very sweet combination to score the knockdown and seal the decision in as well.
All right. Well, we're going to get our amateur fighter here on the line. Joining the supplemental effect in the national tournament. Junior Golden Gloves. I don't know if he's fighting his pro September 20th or another amateur fight. Let's ask him.
Hello?
Hello, Joey.
Hi.
Hey, this is Rabble Rouse and Rich Brown here from the Fight Unlimited Combat Sports Show. How's it going?
Yeah, hi, how's it going?
Good. We also have Psychic Tom Padgett. Do you want your fortune told on the line?
How you doing, Joey?
Hey, how's it going?
And also, Tornado Pentacal, who is our bottom ring man.
Okay.
So, Joey, tell us a little bit about how you got into fighting in the first place.
I'm sorry?
Tell us how you got into fighting in the first place.
Well, my father, he trained fighters in Brooklyn, at the Brooklyn Boxing Club. That's where we were living at the time, Brooklyn. And I was doing like the baby carriage, and I just pretty much grew up there. And all the older guys in the gym, the open class and professionals, they were like my role models. So I always wanted to be like them when I was little. Grew right into it.
And I know that we were told you had a big fight coming up on September 20th. Is that that going to be your pro debut? You're still doing amateur bouts there.
Nah, it's still amateur. I'm not old enough for professional yet. I'm still 16. That's my first open class fight, you know, so fight. So for now on, I'll be fighting anyone from 16 years old to 40 years old.
Whoa.
Oh, grown men now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rounds go up from 2 minutes to 3 minutes as well. Yeah, it's my first open class fight.
Awesome. And what's the most important thing you do to get ready for a fight?
Most important thing? I'd say keeping everything sharp, like all my punches sounding straight, keeping my head movement on point and everything like that. Like a lot of mitt work, a lot of shadow boxing, keeping everything perfect the way you like it.
Awesome. And how about your ultimate goal with all this?
My ultimate goal is to take boxing as far as I can. That's fighting on ESPN, fighting on Showtime, pay-per-view, fighting for world titles. As far as I can take it, that's what I want to do. I want to get as much out of it as I can. I want to turn professional within a year or two and just keep going with it, run with it for as long as I can.
All right.
As a young guy that you are, well, first of all, you're still in the amateurs. Any aspirations for the 2016 Olympic team? They're going back to the old method of scoring, so that actually should bring the Olympics back a little bit, hopefully the glory days.
I'm sorry. I'm not that back connected or something. Can you repeat that one?
Yeah, I was saying on there, did you have any interest in possibly looking at the 2016 Olympics? Still being a young man that you are, and they're bringing the Olympics back to the old time scoring, which was actually in effect, they changed up before you're even born. But they're bringing back the old type scoring, the better type scoring, and hopefully bring the Olympic boxing back to its glory days.
Yeah. Well, I like how they're bringing the amateur boxing and Olympic boxing back to the old time scoring, but I think it is more like the pro game. But the only thing with that is they change for Americans to make it to the Olympics, there's a lot of qualifying you have to do, a lot more than other countries. Like some countries are cheating them, they can just pretty much bring whoever they want. But for America, we have to qualify, do a lot of stuff. And the big part is in qualifying, the big thing is they just change rules. Like now you got to be 19. And for the 2016 games, I won't be 19 yet. So I have to wait till the 2020 games, and then I'll be 22. And that's an extra, 4 or 5 years of amateur fighting, not getting paid and not working on my pro career. So, I already have 80 amateur fights on.
That's a shame, and I was unaware of that, because so many great amateurs went in the Olympics, fought in the Olympics when they were at that age. I think Oscar De La Hoya was 18 when he won it.
They just made the change. It's a new one. They're adding a new, juniors, which are like kids under 16, novice, which are 16 and over with less than 10 fights, 85, but now they have what they're calling open manner elite. Well, give me a second. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, but now they're making a new thing with all the leader senior men, which is you got to be 19 for like Olympic games and stuff like that. So it's a lot more difficult.
So, what would you say you love most about the sport of boxing?
What I love most about this, I love everything about it. I love watching it. I love training. I love competing. I like to go into different shows. I like following the sport, following the guys that are professional, guys who are in the top 10 pound for pounds. I love everything about the sport. There's everything from the TV, the publicity, the talking to people about my fight, doing interviews, signing autographs for people at school, for teachers. I just love everything about this, the whole sport, everything. There's not one particular thing I like the most.
Well, that's the same answer that Floyd Mayweather gave me, believe it or not.
Yeah.
He checked the floor. He just said everything.
He
elaborated. So you're on the track. Anyway, how about your all-time favorites fighters of all time and fighters right now?
My all-time favorite of all time would be Oscar De La Hoya, his boxing career is, he's like my role model. And Oscar De La Hoya for sure, he's my number one. Then number two would definitely be Irish Mickey Ward. That left tip to the body into the head, switching it up, is perfect. I love that. And my favorite fighters right now, I really like Gennady Golovkin, and I'm also really like Sergey Kovalev.
You like knockouts?
Yes, I do like knockouts.
Yeah, you put Golovkin and Kovalev in there. Those are guys that don't believe in going the distance.
I'm sorry?
Guys like Golovkin and Kovalev, going the distance is not in their vocabulary.
Kovalev and Golovkin, they don't like to go the distance.
No, they don't. They like to end it early. That's what sells tickets, so that's what puts people in the seats. That's what people like to see.
Awesome. Mickey Ward doesn't come up in a lot of my answers to that question.
Mickey Ward wasn't one of those guys who was winning multiple world titles, but he won some of the minor world titles, and he had a great trilogy with God. He was an exciting fighter. He wasn't afraid to get busted up, go to war. I mean, he stopped when guys with them body shots. He had one of those punches that no matter how good you work that body, that's just one of those shots. Either you can take it or you can't. Most guys can't.
One of the fights that I really thought really showed the best Mickey Ward has to offer was his bout against Daniel Augustus. Up here.
Yes, that was a very good fight.
Yeah, because it was up here in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. And wow, talk about body shots. Those guys gave everything to each other. Ward outlasted him, basically, and just put it on just enough to win that fight. But he was always in battles.
Always.
Tough. Actually, last time I saw Mickey Ward was at an event in Boston I went to. It was Battle of the Badges. New York City firemen versus Boston area law enforcement.
Yeah, that's neat.
And Mickey played a big role in the whole thing. And then at the after party, he and I were both breaking up fights.
Actually, another fight I forgot to mention was Salvador Sanchez.
Oh,
all right. He's one of my favorites. Now he would have probably been one of the best ever, but he died off. He was real young. He was already like a 3-time world champ by the age of 20. He died real young in a car accident down in Mexico.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, one of our heroes, of course, is Rocky Marciano. Tony and I share a lot of reverence for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've met a lot of his family. Tony actually came up for the big statue dedication in Brockton that they did outside the football field.
That's neat.
And, it's important to have those kind of examples.
Yes,
but,
for sure.
Rocky was lucky enough to get his whole career under his belt before he died, but...
Yeah.
Crash for him. Sucks, but anyway, getting back to you, is there anybody out there you really want to fight right now? Or is it pretty much just whoever asks for
it? There's not one particular person I really want to fight. I mean, I'm open class now, so that opens up a lot bigger category because I can fight a lot of older people or people from a bigger age range. So I can, I'm really whoever's around my weight and open class, I'm ready to fight. Not one particular person I want to fight.
All right. Let's see. How about your favorite punch?
My favorite punch, I don't know. It either have to be probably just a good dip and bringing a hook to the head or slipping a guy's right hand and bringing a good left hook to the body. Either one of them. Definitely left hook, either upstairs or downstairs.
I like this kid already.
I told the guest last week, Tony was a hooker in college. The left hook, especially.
He
like to throw the hooks. I do too.
Yeah.
And so much so that I forgot that I could throw uppercuts. I don't think I ever ever landed one.
Yeah. That might be my second. I got a good right uppercut, especially off a jab.
Right.
Yeah. Good jab. Give me a good jab. Maybe my several kind of like.
Cool. All right. So what about this weekend? What do you think about Floyd Mayweather versus Mike Tyson?
I want someone upset Floyd, honestly. I want McDonald to beat him. I think he did really good in the first fight. I had it, I think, 5-5, five rounds of five after 10, and then Mayweather won the last two. But honestly, I think Mayweather, he adapts so well, and especially after already having 12 rounds with the guy, I think he's going to beat him more decisively than last time.
Yeah. I think we're all on the same page there, but...
Yeah, he's one of the greatest, he is.
We'd all love to see it go the other way.
For sure, I definitely would, but it's hard to go against a guy who just wins and wins, and you think someone's got the remedy, and then someone beats him continuously beats him.
Yeah, and it always happens when nobody predicts it, so it's kind of kind of funny the way that works sometimes.
Yeah.
We'll see. It could happen. You never know.
Yeah, I think Madonna's definitely got that rough style to do it. I think he'd be one of the best people to do it, but it's a hard, very hard task in front of him.
What would you say best moment in the sport so far?
Best moment?
Yeah.
Probably when I won the National Silver Gloves, and it put me number one in the nation back in 2011. That's probably my best moment. At the Nationals, the first night out there, I drew the kid from California. I knew he was going to be my toughest fight. He's actually one of Robert Garcia's amateurs. Robert Garcia was actually in the kid's corner, and we had a close fight. That was 3-2. And at Nationals, there's five judges, amateurs. That was 3-2 split decision. I won that. Then the next night I drew a kid with not much experience from, I think, North Dakota or Montana, one of those states up there. Beat him 5-0 unanimous decision. And then I fought a boy, actually was trained by Broner's, Adrian Broner's trainer at up in Cincinnati. And it was close, one round, going in the last round. I poured it on him, dropped him with about 10 seconds left, and won the fight, won Nationals.
And how about role models
along
the way? Anybody
inside
or outside the sport that's really helped
you out to get where you're going? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if there's one person in particular I model my life after anything, but I have a lot of people through boxing that keep me doing the right thing, put the right ideas in my head, and keep me going strong. My father, Danny Kissinger, Jake Smith, Nick Kissinger, all of these guys. A lot of guys from the old Brooklyn Boxing Club that I'm still really close in touch with.
Is there anything else you want to add? Or can you take another question?
No, there's not much I want to add. Any more questions?
You've been quiet. You want to do a psychic reading?
Joey, how would you describe your style? Are you more of a boxer, or would you consider yourself like a boxer puncher, or how would you define yourself?
Well, I have more of a slick style. I'm very good defense. I have good hand speed, but I do have many styles, because you never know who you're going to have in front of you. You might have a guy that's you're not going to beat out boxing. You might be slicker. You might have to make a rush. So that's how I started when I was young, like 8-9 years old. I came face first and was throwing bombs and hurting kids. And now I'm starting more skillful, using more head movement, but I'm probably best a counter puncher. That's probably my first thing on the list I'm going to go to. Probably a counter puncher, but then again, I like to walk guys down too and get inside and throw some good body shots and work that left hook upstairs and downstairs. So I have many different styles, but probably.
So in other words, it just kind of depends on the circumstance. Like, I think you have to be versatile.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great that you put emphasis on defense, because I notice a lot of young guys start and all they want to do is punch, you know, because the offense is exciting and it's glamorous and sexy and all that stuff, and defense doesn't have the sizzle to it. But as you know, as you start to get a little, you know, moving up in, to better competition, if you don't have a basic defense, forget about it.
Yeah, you definitely got to get defense. If you don't have any defense, you're not going to last long in the sport. No matter who you are, you're going to get hit. I mean, it's boxing. You're going to get punched. But there's a lot big difference to getting hit 50 times around and then 5 times around. If you can only get hit 5 times, that's a lot better. So, yeah, defense does kill. Defense and speed, I think, wins in most circumstances. But you got to have some punch and power. You got to be able to stop guys, hurt guys, knock guys out. Because if not, what if you find someone that's faster and you got to be able to hurt them or something? You got to do something to win the fight. And overall, no matter where you're from, power and knockouts and seeing guys get cut, that's what people pay tickets to see. People that don't understand the sport, understand the whole technical aspect of it, they still want to see people getting hurt, busted up, knocked out. That's why in professionals you don't wear head gears and you wear the smaller gloves. They want to see these people get hurt in the big knockouts, the big punches.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if you don't have that kind of power, your opponent's very relaxed then at that point if you can't hurt him, and then it becomes like a gym workout for your opponent. And then we get into cardio issues because, hey, if you're not tense, you can fight a lot longer. You know, so it's just the whole
package. Yeah, exactly. If you're more relaxed, you're going to last longer. And you got to make that guy respect you. So if he's not going to respect you, he can just walk. If he can walk through all your punches, then he's just going to walk you down and do what he wants to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've seen that happen to guys a lot. So I think you got the right balance, Joe. Really, you know, you just got to keep focusing on all aspects of it, and every day just try to get a little bit better. What else can you do? You know.
Yep. Exactly.
I was a guest not too long ago who said the secret is you just got to work harder today than you did yesterday.
Exactly. Keep on working harder. Each day gets tougher. Each day you got to work harder. Always a new task at hand.
Now, one question I'd like to ask everybody is, if there's anything you could change about the sport of boxing, what would it be?
Anything I can change about the sport of boxing? Maybe how much money influences some of these judges and referees. And one thing I'd really like to do, I'd like to get Mayweather to come out of Las Vegas.
Good one. They're trying to get him to go to Dubai, actually. That's the latest rumor going around. There's a guy in Dubai who wants to pay him almost $1 billion, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars each, Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, I'd love to see the fight. I'd really love to see about 6 years ago, but
yeah, right.
Yeah, that didn't happen, but yeah, it'd still be nice to see it now, but
yeah,
I don't know how likely that is to happen.
Floyd's counting on the fact that Pacquiao's lost a step or two, and the latest thing is, I guess they've been talking about not only a fight in the spring, but also a rematch already booked for the fall. The one in the spring between Mayweather and Pacquiao.
Oh, really? They already have a rematch ready?
Yeah, they're already talking about a rematch.
Oh, huh.
It's weird.
I didn't hear about that.
That'd
be wild.
It'd be nice
if one of them won the first fight, the other one won the second fight, and then they fought a third time.
Yeah. Of course, if they make enough money doing it, they might rig it so that happens. Who knows?
Yeah, they might do it anyway. That's a lot of money there.
I don't know.
Especially if they wanted to maybe China where all the gambling is.
Right. Macau, yeah. Any place to fight now.
Yeah, a lot of money there.
anyway, any final thoughts or any notes where you can be found online, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff?
I'm on Twitter at big_VZ11. I'm on Instagram at the same thing. And I'm ready for the 20th. I've been getting some good hard sparring. I sparred with Dusty Harrison from D.C. on Tuesday. I sparred 8 rounds today. I'm ready to go put on a good show for all the fans on September 20th and get the win.
Sweet. Well, it was great talking to you. We'll keep an eye on maybe having you in a big fight coming up.
All right, thanks.
Have a good night.
Good luck, Joey.
Thank you. Good night. Yeah, thank you. Good night.
Oops. Cut him off. There he is, Joey Z, the food boxer fight in Baltimore on the 20th. And we'll have Francisco Palacios on in about 15 minutes. But let's talk about the boxing schedule upcoming before we get to the UFC match on Saturday. You got fights going on right now. Doesn't mean you can stop listening to us, but just wanted to let people know. We got fights going on right now. And Golden Boy Promotions has a heck of a card going on. The Hard Rock Hotel and Casino out there in Las Vegas. So it's already fight week. And Golden Boy has a Saturday event. Figures they're going to have their Thursday night fights there, too. And we got a couple 12-rounders leading this card. Luis Ortiz, a heavyweight. He's 21-0 with 18 knockouts. Fighting Latif Kayode, who's also undefeated at 20-0 with 16 knockouts. That's for the interim WBA World Heavyweight title. And also featherweight title on the line, the WBA World Featherweight title. And that fights with Jesus Fight of the Week, I guess. Jesus Marcelo Andres Queller fighting Juan Manuel Lopez. Queller is 24-1 with 18 knockouts. Lopez is 34-4 with 31 knockouts. And interestingly enough, both of them, their only losses have come by knockout. All their losses. So that's for the interim WBA World Featherweight title there. And also we've got a bunch of 8-rounders. Very good competition in these 8-rounders. Biggest fight there, we've got Jermall Charlo, who's 18-0 with 14 knockouts, fighting Norberto Gonzalez, who's 20-4 with 13 knockouts at middleweight. We also got another undefeated fight, Julian Williams, 16-0-1 with 10 knockouts at light middleweight, fighting Eliezer Gonzalez, who's 14-0 with 9 knockouts. And a welterweight fight between Josecito Lopez, who has 32 wins, 19 by knockout, 6 losses, and no draws. He's fighting Rafael Cobo, 15-4-5.
Okay, man, I watched the Julian Williams. That was a good young prospect. I got to cover one of his first fights a couple years ago. And he's been progressing very well, and you may be seeing his name more and more this year.
And I'm sure we have what the guest last week just wants to see more of. Televised, we have a female main event. Jelena Mirjanovic, she's 32-9-1. Fighting Marilyn Hernandez, 25-9, 16 knockouts for the WBC female featherweight title. Nothing really earth-shattering on the undercard, a lot of probably abuse. But, pretty interesting card. Main point, at least. Let's see what else we got. Looking. Rhode Island, Lincoln, Rhode Island, tomorrow night at the Twin River Event Center. CES Boxing, who actually promotes our last guests last week. We got an 8-round light heavyweight main event there for the USA New England light heavyweight title tomorrow night at the Twin River Event Center. Richard Gingras, who's 14-4-1 with 9 knockouts, fighting Peter Greedy, who's 15 last fight on that card, of course. And then we go to Saturday. The big one on Saturday is obviously Maidana Feather 2. That's from the MGM Grand there. We'll go over that card in a minute. That holds up.
Well, I'm glad Tom wasn't on that video.
I did too. I just didn't say it. I still haven't sent you the link. I will get it. But yeah, it was good. Last time you picked the round of the foul, so now you picked the round of when Mayweather's going to stick his tongue out. So I don't know how you're going to make that come true, but.
Yeah, Tony, this was an outstanding effort, though. I mean, it's just, you know, you put the thought into it, and I think we're all on the same page there about the guy with more technique can make more adjustments. I mean, I think Maidana's going to be making some adjustments too, but I think Floyd just has a bigger toolbox. Comes down to that.
Yeah, you're right. He's given me all the credit in the world. I mean, the guy comes to fight, he's fast, he's got hard, and he's got pretty good power. But he is, for the most part, a one-dimensional fighter. I had a fight, years ago. I fought a guy two times. The first time was more of like an exhibition style fight, and then it was a guy here that ended up beating me in the Nationals a few months later. Not the 6'7" guy, but a guy the year before that. And I was a little bit drained from making weight because I was coming down at the weight class. But when we had the first time, the exhibition, what he was doing was he was a southpaw, and he was tall, and he had long arms. So he was putting his lead arm out, and he was kind of making like a circular motion, and like trying to keep me on the end of it. But what I started doing was I started sticking inside of it and then coming around with a left hook. And it was landing over his outstretched lead arm. And I ran into a good shot. And when we had fought the second time, like I said, I really didn't have a whole lot in the gas tank. But we go in there and we're fighting. And starting in the second round, he kept doing it again. So I went to do the same move I did, the dip and counter. Well, he was waiting for me to do that. That was his game plan. And when he did, and I went to dip and counter, he took that right hand that he had. Let out, he turned it right into an uppercut and was walking me right into it. He made the adjustment that I was unable to adjust against because I wasn't ready for it.
Well, Floyd Mayweather is going to make his own adjustments, I think. He's good. He's got a different approach this time. Got a new strength and conditioning coach and everything. Their goal last time was to go 100 punches around. I think they pretty much did that for the first half of the fight, but kind of fell off at the end. So they're going to try to be that active for the whole fight. Who knows? That might work, but they don't have the element of surprise anymore. So.
Yeah, Tony, as you pointed out, the only real intangible here is Father Time, because as you mentioned in there, no one gets past that at this point. And until we get the nanobots and stem cells and everything else, that's the way it's going to be. I mean, you get to a certain point. So sometimes, we have seen guys get old overnight. But I also would agree with you that I don't think anyone trains like Mayweather does. And I think if anyone can push that window further, it's going to be him. So I don't see him getting old immediately.
Looking at a few other things on there, certain fighters change styles as they get older. Bernard Hopkins is an example, still fighting get ready for a title fight 3 months before his 50th birthday. And what Bernard did, you watch early in Bernard's career when he first won the middleweight title, he was a guy, he was coming out there to take you out. He was an executioner. But there were certain fights he had that he played more of a boxer role. Like against some big punches that were Glenn Stella and you know, that he was versatile enough that he switched the gears and then he kicked him apart from the outside and then ran him in. It was just his punches. Guys like Antoine Echols, even a young Glenn Johnson, Robert Allen, a lot of guys like that. And then as he got older, he became strictly a boxer. He takes a guy like Floyd. Floyd's always been a master technician. He's never been a guy that's, you know, going out there to, you know, engage in firefights if it was dangerous. Yeah, he went after the guys when they were hurt, like Gotti and all that, when he already had them, you know, pretty much tenderized. He didn't get them to kill. But if he was going to come down where, yeah, because of his training, because of his, you know, athleticism, either he's going to continue to do what he does, or he's going to fall into the Roy Jones syndrome. And that is, one day gets in there, has a tough fight, like he did against Tarver, and everybody goes, oh my God, he had a tough fight. Well, maybe it's because he took Tarver heavy. Maybe it's because, you know, he lost all the weight coming down from heavyweight. Maybe it's because whatever. And Tarver said, you got any pieces tonight? And then the reflexes went by one shade of a second, and boom, knocked out. And then when that happened, he was never the same.
Yep.
Well, we can only...
three seconds, one tenth of a second.
We only hope for the same result for Floyd Mayweather, but... as I said, they are now talking about, even though Floyd is reportedly doesn't have it in his plans, Bob Arum has been on a rampage saying this fight is going to happen. He's in negotiations. Like I said, there's a rumor of some guy in Dubai, some obviously a royal family member, I guess, coming up with hundreds of millions of dollars for each guy to fight, and also plans for already a rematch in the fall of next year. So, you know, obviously Arum is talking to somebody. I don't know if it's Floyd himself, but we know from his last statement about it that we really addressed this. Floyd said that the only way he's fighting Pacquiao is if Pacquiao comes over to Golden Boy or Mayweather Promotions and fights a couple fights for him. So we'll see. I doubt that's going to happen. But also on this card Saturday night at the MGM Grand, we've got Leo Santa Cruz. He's undefeated at 27-0. Got one draw. 15 knockouts, fighting Manuel Roman, who's 17-2 with two draws, six knockouts. That's for the WBC Super Bantamweight title. Also have the IBF Lightweight title on the line between Miguel Vasquez, 34-3 with 13 knockouts, and Mickey Bayes, 20-1 with one draw and 10 knockout wins there. And I don't know if I'm reading this wrong or if it's a mistake, or maybe you can explain this, Tony, but how can Floyd Mayweather be fighting Maidana for two welterweight titles and a light middleweight title? Won't you have to be fighting at light middleweight? Don't you have to be fighting at light middleweight to get that title?
Well, Johnny Lalonde have to, the fight with Sugar Ray Leonard. Did Sugar Ray Leonard fight with the Lalonde title that time? That's the whole comparison on it here. Everybody's saying, you know, it is kind of BS because you're fighting one weight class. How can you put two titles in line for different weight classes? You know, I think that's kind of ridiculous. But yeah, back in the day, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard had a title at 162. Johnny Lalonde had a title at 175. And when they fought, they decided to put both belts on. But here's the thing, you know, Johnny Lalonde, who was fighting at 175, even if he had won that fight, could he make 168 to defend the title? How can you win? Okay, now, you look at this one. If you are Sugar Ray Leonard, okay, and you're Johnny Lalonde, and, or right now, you're fully there, you're going to fight Marcus Maidana. and for this fight, say you set the weight for 149, above the welterweight limit, but within the junior middleweight limit. So, can you really be defending the title that you're over the weight class? And for a guy like Maidana, again, you're over 147, and technically you can be fighting for a 154-pound title, but now you're over 147. Yeah, that is something I'm just not cool with.
Write some letters. Get on.
Yeah. That'll go real far.
Also on the card, we've got Humberto Soto, who has the most wins on this whole card. 64 of them, 35 by knockout, 8 losses, 2 by knockout, and 2 draws, fighting John Molina, who's 27-4, with 22 knockouts. It's a round fight. And Alfredo Angulo at middleweight, 10-rounder. 22-4 with 18 knockouts, fighting James De La Rosa. 22-2 with 13 knockouts. That's the best fights on that card. And the only other big card this weekend, other than one from the UK, I'm really not going to go over this, there are two big female title fights, or at least, two female fights in main event light heavyweight title fight there. Male fight in Copenhagen, Denmark. Cecilia Brækhus is 25-0 with 7 knockouts. Putting all the titles on the line. The WBA, WBC, WBO, and the IBF female welterweight titles. And Ivana Habazin, 31, 5 knockouts. 10-round, 13-round. Then we've got Eric Skoglund, main event. Light heavyweight, he's 20-0 with 11 knockouts. Fighting Stefano Abatangelo, 18-1, 6 knockouts. Also, the other female fight, the light welterweight, Clara Svensson, 13-0 with 5 knockouts. Fighting Marie Riederer, 15-1-1 with 10 knockouts. That's been an interim WBC female light welterweight. Very much it. The upcoming boxing. Let's go over UFC coming up this weekend. Real quick before we get Francisco on the horn. Antonio Silva versus Andre Arlovsky. Main event, UFC Fight Night. Bigfoot versus Arlovsky 2. Antonio Silva is 18-5-1. Arlovsky is 22-10. This is Arlovsky's first time back in the octagon in a long time. We'll see if he's still octagon material. Saturday night. Co-main event here is pretty good. This guy was only 2 losses, fighting a long-time UFC veteran. Mr. Hallman, 15-2, fighting Tim Tebow, who's 29-10. So experience versus technical skill, looks like in that fight. Then we've got Leonardo Santos, 12-3-1, fighting Efrain Escudero, who's 22-8. Wendell de Oliveira Marquez, 24-7, fighting Santiago Ponzinibbio, who's 18-2. Talk about experience. Yuri Alcantara, 30 wins, 5 losses, fighting Russell Dawn, who's 14-3. We've got Jessica Andre, 11-3. Here's her record. She's fighting Larissa Moreira Pacheco, who's undefeated, 10-0. Then we've got Deshaun Johnson, 9-1, fighting Godofredo Castro, who's 10-3. George Sullivan, 15-3, fighting Igor Araujo, who's 25-6. Leandro Silva, 15-1, fighting Francisco Ronaldo, 14-4. We've got Paulo Thiago on the card. He's fighting in the second fight of the night. He's 15-3. Sean Spencer, who's 11-3. And Ronnie Yaya from the WEC fame, 19-8, fighting Johnny Bedford from a lot of the Ultimate Fighter seasons not too long ago. He's 19-11-1. That's it. And pretty sure we got a UFC, no, Bellator card too. So gotta be a Bellator. It's got to be stuff going on every weekend, every Friday now too. So, check that out. That one, Emmanuel Newton versus Joey Beltran. And those who listen to the show know I did a big article on defense highlighting how bad Joey Beltran is at it. So, I'm sure Emmanuel Newton with all his spinning back fists and drunken master style will be able to dismantle Joey Beltran pretty easily. They call him the Mexicutioner, but I think he's going to get Mexicuted in this one.
I would agree.
We got Liam McGeary, 8-0, fighting Kelly Anunzen, 9-2. I don't really know a whole lot about either guy there. LC Davis back in action. He's been around a long time. 21-6, fighting Zilton Rodriguez, who's 12-3. And Ryan Couture, I believe this is going to be his Bellator debut. He's 8-3, fighting Tom Bagnasco, who's 3-2. Son of Randy, Ryan Couture. We've also got Sanaa Hommasi, 7-4, fighting Eric Moon, who's 11-12. Cortez Filia, 1-1, fighting Eric Ramirez. Ben Ryder, who's 14-0-1, versus Shamir Garcia, who's 6-0. Michael Hernandez, 6-3, versus Thomas Vasquez, 7-1. Adrian Hernandez, 5-0, versus Leroy Johnson, 2-0. Michael Hamida, 3-0, versus Adrian Adrabiaj, 1-0. Justin James, 5-2, versus Ruben Bariak, who's 5-1. Jason Fisher, 6-3, versus Tony Hurd, 16-7. And one thing you notice between the Bellator and the UFC cards is you've got a lot of guys with no pictures on the Bellator card. I guess they've got to build, at least on Sherdog, anyway, I guess they've got to build their recognition of their fighters. So that about does it for its upcoming schedule. We still got a shitload of news to cover, but we have to get our guest on the phone here, second guest of the night. We're in overdrive this episode. We went from zero guests to two in two episodes. Francisco Palacios, he's a cruiserweight? No. Light heavyweight, I think. I have his record somewhere here. As I said, he's only got two losses, both to the same guy, Krzysztof Bladarczyk. Both are title fight opportunities.
So,
I was looking at his record the other day, and I'm pretty sure he had a pretty big layoff. If I can find it here. Find it again. Anyway, we're just trying to connect here. Skype is acting. While we're waiting, we might as well go over some of the details of this lawsuit from Ms. Jackson against Floyd Mayweather. This came out just, I think, like a day or two after our show last time, so we just missed it. But basically, the story goes that Miss Jackson is claiming that Floyd threatened to shoot her in the foot at one point, and she's also suing over the whole idea of the story actually we mentioned on the air not too long ago, a few weeks ago. Maybe right before the Maidana first fight, where we were talking about how Floyd might be a little bit distracted because he just found out, that his ex there, Miss Jackson, had aborted his twin babies. So now she's suing because he went on social media and blasted her out there, even though he later deleted the tweets with the pictures of the ultrasound picture of the babies. But now she's suing over that. My perspective on that, knowing all about what you usually sue a person for when they go out and say something on the internet, is they have to be untrue for them to get any money out of it. If it is true that she went and aborted these two twins, then, I mean, it's just his right as an American citizen to go out there and speak his mind about it. As much as you might not agree with his approach or his language, that's freedom of speech all the way. So I don't know what Gloria Allred is thinking representing Miss Jackson on that one, but it's going to be interesting to see where she tries to take that. There were also other alleged incidents of abuse. But I really don't believe much of it. I think she's a gold digger trying to get money. But at the same time, you know, you kind of get a look at it all with a grain of salt because of Floyd's history. He has actually hit a woman before and spent some jail time as a result, thinking it over. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one shakes out. But we all know how Floyd likes to treat lawsuits in Las Vegas. Manny Pacquiao sued him. He didn't even show up. Multiple times. Okay. You can do it. Okay, we're going to add Francisco Palacios to the call.
Hello.
Hello, Francisco.
Yeah, this is Francisco.
This is Rich Bergeron from the Fight TV.
How are you doing, sir? How's everything?
Great. We also have Psychic Tom Patchett and Tony the Tornado Pinnacle on the show tonight.
Oh, man.
How you doing, Francisco? Okay, man.
What's up, man? How's everything? Thank you. I'm doing
good.
Great. Thank God.
All right. So we were just talking a little bit about your record. You got this big fight coming up on the 20th. You're also co-promoting this one. Tell us what you know about this Epifanio Mendoza you're fighting.
Well, I don't know much about him. All I know is that he's a big puncher, and I gotta be ready for, you know what I mean? I mean, I gotta be ready for whatever he brings to the table. I'm ready for whatever he brings to the table, and I mean, as far as that, he's a big puncher. Everybody in the cruiserweight division is a big puncher. So I mean, I gotta be always be on alert and be on my game the whole time, and we'll be fine.
And how did you first get into
Park? You kind of broke up there.
How did you first get into Park?
Well, my brother, as I was growing up as a kid, my brother was a boxer. I was a basketball player. I always played basketball and different kind of sports. But boxing, I liked boxing, but I didn't like to get hit. So, like, as I grew older, I started boxing when I was 22, 23. I started in January 2000, started boxing because they invited me to go to the gym because I was overweight. And like after I broke my ankles in college playing basketball, well, like I just went to the gym just to lose some weight, and somebody started talking trash, and you know how that goes from there. I sparred with them, knocked them out, and I was like, all right, this is my thing. I always been a fighter. I always fought in the streets and everything as I was growing up, growing older, fighting older fighters, fight older people than I was, And, like, my brother, that's how my brother taught me how to defend myself. So, I mean, I always had the fight in me. I just didn't like to get hit. So, I still don't like to get hit, but, I mean, eventually, every once in a while, you got to get tagged a couple of times to feel the power, to feel the boxing atmosphere.
Well, I imagine that makes you a better defensive fighter. You're not really liking to get hit.
Well, I'm a boxer. I consider myself a boxer puncher. But if I have to go in there and bang, I bite down on that mouthpiece and I go in there and I bang too. So it doesn't matter to me. I prepare myself very well. I do everything that I have to do. I take care of my body, so I know what I got to do to be in there. Like, whenever I'm getting ready to bang, I know what I got to do to take care of that, you know, and feel comfortable with it.
And I noticed you're coming off almost exactly 2 years of the layoff, so what do you do during that time? Were you always planning on getting back to it, or was this kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing to go start to promote, and then get back in the ring yourself?
Well, what it was that I was under contract with Don King, and after my last fight with Christoph Blachowicz, they kind of sat me down on the bench and didn't give me no fights or nothing. So I was like out of the picture because of contract problems. So I got a couple of partners, a couple of, you know, family members that always were pushing me, and like all my friends and stuff like that telling me, why you're not coming back? So I was just like, really, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to still fight again. I don't know if I'm going to do it because I don't want to, if I'm going to fight one day and then take a year off, then it's not worth it. I'm not a kid no more. You know what I mean? I'm a little bit older than a lot of these fighters that are coming up. Just because I'm a little bit older doesn't make any difference that I don't feel like I could be in there with the younger guys. That's not a problem. I feel like I'm 25 years old still. So like my partners offered me the opportunity to open up this company, and I was all for it, and I was like, well, if I'm going to do this, I might as well just keep on fighting. It's my passion. It's something that I was destined to do. It's the best sport I ever done in my life. You know what I mean? I was a good basketball player. I had a scholarship to play basketball in North Carolina Central. I played 2 years over there. But, like, this is the actual sport that is, like, I'm best at, so... I mean, might as well do it. I love the sport, and I'm very passionate about it. I take care of my body. Like, I mean, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do unnecessary things. I'm always in my house. I'm always watching TV. The only thing I do is I go out with my kids and stuff like that whenever I have my kids.
Cool. Well, sounds like you got the right thing going now. What would you say is the one thing that you love the most about this
sport? I love everything about it. I love the adrenaline. I love just the enthusiasm of me knowing that I'm gonna be able to be in there and you know what I mean, and do like something. You know, when you're passionate about something, that you every time you get to it, it's like, wow, you feel overwhelmed because you love it so much and you want to just keep on doing it. So every time I have a chance to do it, I would do it. Even though I was on a layoff, I would always maintain my body, either doing strength and conditioning or hitting the bag or teaching somebody how to do it. And that's, I love that. I love that part right there, because when somebody, I feel like I'm a very good fighter. And, I mean, a lot of people may disagree, but I feel like I'm a very good fighter and I know what I got to do in there. And just the enthusiasm of me being in there in a square circle of me showing the world how hard I work, how passionate I am about it. And also the money is also good.
That helps, I'm sure. All right, my other co-host got any questions here?
Well, Francisco, yeah, go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I'm going to pull my box set back up.
All right.
Excuse me? I didn't hear you.
I was telling Tom to go ahead because I'm trying to pull my box rec back up.
He's trying to find your record of box rec, I guess.
Oh, I'm 21-2 with 13 knockouts. My two losses come, one is a split decision in Poland against the world champion, Krzysztof Bloszczyk, and which I thought and a million other people thought that I won 10 rounds out of 12, and they gave him the split decision. And the second one is with him also because the people from Poland wrote an open letter to the WBC, and over 5,000 people from Poland signed it, so I could have the rematch because I wasn't going to get the rematch. So, and then the second one was, I trained so hard for that one that I overtrained myself because I knew I had to go over there and knock him out, and that didn't happen. And I after the sixth round, my legs started getting rubbery. I ran the Wednesday before the fight. I ran 3 miles in 18 minutes, and after that, my legs were like shot out. You know what I mean? But I did. I lasted the 12 rounds, and I was the aggressor instead of the boxer. I was putting pressure on him, and he was countering on me.
I
had
a feeling I saw the first fight. Was
that televised? And it was televised over there on Pulsar TV, but like a lot of people saw it over here through the internet.
Okay, that makes sense.
I could barely hear you. I'm sorry if I keep on asking you to repeat yourself. Because I could barely hear you.
I'm having trouble with my computer.
Oh, okay.
Tom, you got a question?
Yeah, Francisco, when you first really committed to boxing, what was the aspect of the game that you found maybe the most challenging before you really felt comfortable with, or was there any one thing that stands out like that?
Well, my main aspect was to be an Olympian. You know what I mean? That was like my main goal, to be an Olympian as an amateur. And like my brother was like my biggest, like, you know what I mean? My brother was always there, like pushing me and like always telling me what to do. I mean, like from far away from the phone, he'll call me and like, "Look, man, you gotta keep on. You're the man." You know what I mean? Always giving me that encouragement and stuff like that. And then my brother passed away in 2004, 2 days before my birthday. And,
oh, man, sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it comes. Yeah, no problem. So it was a kind of rough after that because, like, I would still fight, but it was like I wasn't taking care of myself. You know, I wasn't saying I was doing a lot of bad things. I was drinking. I was doing a lot of dumb stuff. I was, you know what I mean, hanging out, doing a lot of dumb stuff. Yeah, as a kid, you know what I mean? I'm 27. I wasn't a kid. I was 27 years old, but I lost there my father. I lost my brother. I lost my best friend. You know what I mean? So it was really hard for me. It was really, really hard for me. And then in December 2006, December 2004, 7 months after he died, I made a promise. Like, I had made a promise to him that I was gonna, when I buried him, that I was going to be a world champion. And in 2004 in December, I said, I'm not going to drink no more. I'm not going to do none of this stuff. I'm not going to do none of the things that I'm doing no more. I'm going to take care of myself because that's the only way I'm going to be able to be a champion, a world champion. And I dedicated myself, and I know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I've been trying to grind it out. My first 3 years, like, I did 6 fights my first year, and then the following 2 years I only had 4 fights. Until I had a fight with Louis Lazier that they called me. I was getting ready to retire. I was like, I'm not getting no fights. I'm training. I'm here in the gym doing nothing. I don't have nobody interested in me. I'm, you know what I mean? Whatever. I'm not going to do this no more. So the coach that I had then, his name was Josh Aguilar, Jose Aguilar, which I was with him for 8 years. And he told me, take a couple of weeks off. So I took 2 months off. Next thing you know, he called me on a Friday. You want to fight on Luis Vazil? Remember we were talking about this, that if that they'll probably call you whenever you're not training? I was like, yeah. And I was probably 212, around that area right there. And I was like, when is the fight? He called me on a Friday morning. I was like, when is the fight? He was like, the fight is Wednesday on ESPN. And
wow.
I was like, okay, five days notice. And I was like, I was like, how much are they paying? You know what I mean? And he was like, well, they're paying a certain amount of money. And I was like, So I started thinking, and I was like, let me just do it just for the money. And I was like, what you think? He was like, well, it's a hard fight, this and that. But I know the type of fighter you are, and with your skills, you could prevail. You know what I mean? You could win this fight. And I was like, you know what? I need the money. I need to pay a couple of things. Take the fight. And we took the fight, and in 5 days' notice, I dropped down to 198. I lost 14 pounds in 4 days, and I made the weight. I made 198, and I fought the guy, and I knocked him out in the sixth round, and that's when my doors opened up for me.
Wow. Yeah, you know, there's an old saying, Francisco, that boxing's about three-quarters mental. You know, once you get to a certain level and your conditioning is there and your technique's there, then it becomes mental. And I think you're Exhibit A on that. I mean, you really must have the mental aspect of the game down pretty good to do what you did there. That's an amazing achievement.
Yeah, that right there was like, I was like, wow, like, you know what I mean? If I did this without training and you know what I mean, and not doing anything, not absolutely nothing. I'm talking about nothing. I was out partying, and I was out with a girl, a different girl here and there. I wasn't doing nothing. I just took two months of doing absolutely nothing. No gym. I never showed my face at the gym. I wasn't doing no strength and conditioning or nothing like that. Nothing. And then they called me, and I did it, and I was like, because I'm very strong-minded. When it comes down to fighting, I'm very strong-minded. I'm not scared of nobody to fight. Like, if I fight anybody, I'll fight anybody. I'm not worried about what their record is. I'm not worried about how much, you know what I mean, how many knockouts they got. I'm not worried about absolutely none of that, because if you have two hands and you got one head and two legs, then I'm okay. Now, if you have three hands and two hands and three legs, then I got to think about this, you know what I mean? I'll think about it, but as long as you're a human being like I am and you're a fighter like I am, I don't underestimate nobody, no matter what the record is. Like, my hardest fight to this date, like I always said it, was Zach Page. And Zach Page had not a really good record, you know what I mean, when I fought him. So, it's like, and that's the hardest fight I ever had to this date. Not even the world championship fight wasn't even as hard as Zach Page. Me and Zach Page went 8 rounds of, here you go, here I go, here you go, here I go. You know what I mean? The whole time.
Wow.
So it was, that's to me been the hardest fight ever to me. And I tell everybody, and people look at me, what? I'm like, yeah, like, that's how it is. This is how it is.
Well,
I never underestimate nobody.
Well, I guess you can't, because, you know, there's that old cliche, boxing is the theater of the unexpected. And anything can happen in there. I mean, you know, both guys have, like you said, two handoffs. Someone comes in there with three fists. That's a whole other story. But, hey, each guy's got two fists. Each guy's got a brain. Each guy's got a heart. So you never know for sure just what could happen. And, you know, I like the way you describe yourself as a boxer puncher, because I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all. And, you know, there's sometimes you may have to rely on your power, then other times you have to rely on your movement and your defense. And so it's kind of good to have that ability to go back and forth like that, you know.
I take this sport very seriously because guess what? You got two trainers or three trainers in your corner, but guess what? You're the only person inside that ring. If whatever your trainer is telling you does not work, guess what? You gotta make sure you gotta do your own thing in there. You know what I mean? You got a freestyle thing, and you gotta go in there. That's why I prepare myself always mentally and physically and to the best I can. Now, after 8 years, I switched my trainer. So my new trainer is John Iceman Scully. So we've been working for the last 6 weeks, and man, let me tell you something. This guy has beaten me up, like bringing back my phone back, and it, like I'm leaving the gym and I'm coming home taking a nap, and I haven't even done that since I was an amateur. You know, like it's like teaching me different things, doing different drills, getting in the ring, sparring with me and everything, like doing things to me I call it teaching me because he's doing things to me, doing different kind of like tricks and like different kind of punching and different kind of stuff that as I get hit with it, I got to learn it, you know, and I'll try it too. You know, so it's like, and this man, I'm happy he was on board when I asked him to train me, and I'm very satisfied with the transition. I thought it was going to be a harder transition after 8 years being with somebody, you know what I mean, loyally, and this man had came through for me, and like I still got my same cut, man, that I've been having for 8 years and everything, but the head man is Scully. So Scully is actually like everybody knows Scully. Scully was an ex-fighter. He had Chad Dawson. He had Gallo Rivera. You know what I mean? So these are things that you take in perspective, that if you want to make it to be a world champion and you're training with a guy that was a top contender and then he took two fighters to win titles, then you know what I mean? So he do something right. So I follow every order he gives me, and we in shape. We in really good shape. I made the weight today. I made the weight this morning. I made 199, and I still got a week to weigh in.
Well, you know,
friend of ours, I've been meeting him. We've interviewed him a couple times, and stuff is funny because just as you were talking about, you know, training with him, I was actually getting ready to send him an email. Because whenever he writes anything, he always sends me some of his excerpts. And whenever I write an article and Rich posts it on the website, I always send him the link. And I was just actually typing him up the email, sending him my prediction for the Mayweather fight this weekend.
My prediction?
Your prediction? Yeah, we'd love to hear your prediction too. But.
Oh, well, I hope the first one was a good fight. I mean, it was. I thought Mayweather won. It's only been one other fight that Mayweather has like had trouble the first fight and gave him a rematch, and then you know what happened to the second fight with Castillo. So, I mean, I don't know. I just want to see a good fight. I respect both of them because they both warriors. I respect every fighter who steps in the ring, and this is what I always have told people. People ask me, "Why are you a boxer?" I was like, "Because I probably got a little bit of mental problems." I tell them, you know what I mean? Just that joke. If whoever steps in the ring to go in there and punch it out with somebody, I think they got to have a little bit of head problems. You know what I mean? So, I mean, they're both warriors. I hope it's a good fight. I mean, everybody hopes it's a good fight. I think Mayweather will win, and I think Mayweather will probably, I don't know about if he's going to stop him, but I think Mayweather's going to make him look like when he fought Canelo, I thought Mayweather beat Canelo at least 11 rounds. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be like a similar fight to when he fought Mosley, when he just outscored Mosley out and beat Mosley up.
Yeah, actually, I thought that was a great example of why he needed to work more with his father. I remember his father said something to him right before that fight, and it seemed to really get him going from the first round on, whatever he said. And it was the most offensive fight I think seen in a long time from Floyd. And like you said, he really put the hurt on Mosley. So if he can do the same thing to Maidana, I think that's really going to make a lot of people stop hating him so much.
The reason why I say I hope it's a good fight because I'm buying the fight and I don't want to waste my money.
I don't call him money for nothing, that's for sure.
Yeah right. I hope it's a good fight. I mean, the undercard, I haven't seen the undercard. I've seen a couple of fighters, Ricky Bay, been fighting for a title or something like that, and I don't know who else, but like I know Ricky Bay from the amateurs, and I wish him the best of luck too, and I hope he gets it. You know what I mean? He had the opportunity in that fight, then he got knocked out in the last round. He's lost his focus and started dancing, started looking at Mayweather, and he got clipped. You know, so I hope he comes a little bit more focused and do his thing, you know?
You talked about John Skelly. He's been our guest on the show. And we always keep in touch with him. We actually met a girl last week who he recommended. We definitely know firsthand. Know from experience watching him on TV, too, that he knows his fighting. He knows boxing.
Yeah, he's like, let me tell you something, like, he's a boxing genius. To me, I mean, at least for I know boxing, and I've been in the ring a lot of times, and like the things he tells me and how the things he tells me how to do the things, and like the motivation he gives me is like, I'm like, wow, like, really, you know what I mean, how can it, you know what I mean? He's like, in the beginning, it was really rough for me because I couldn't, like, fall into a rhythm. I had to keep on trying to get into a rhythm and stuff like that. And he would tell me, relax, you're going to fall into a rhythm. Don't worry about it, relax. Just keep on working, keep on pushing yourself. And I'm like, every day, I'm like, man, what's going on? I'm frustrated. I'm like inside my head, I'm like, what am I doing? Is this, do I still got this? And like, he's like, keep on working. I promise you, you're going to fall back into the rhythm. I promise you. And boom, out of nowhere. One sparring, I came out and it was just like, I heard my cut man, because my cut man was present. And he was like, that's Palacios. That's him. That's the wizard right there. And when he said that, I fell into that rhythm and like, thank God I feel great now. I feel like I'm there, but I'm back again. I mean, I still gotta try. I still haven't fought yet, so it gotta be a different. It's gonna be a different atmosphere when I fight. But once the adrenaline kicks in, I'm gonna be fine. This is what I live for. I love fighting in front of big crowds, and I'm the main event, and it's my promotion, so I better look good.
Yeah, he's the one thing we mentioned even last week about him too is that he probably will never find another trainer, especially these days, who actually still spars and can do everything that he's asking you to do.
Oh, I'm talking about we do 5 minute planks every day. We'll do abs and then we'll do 5 minute planks every day. Every day, without putting our knees on the ground. He does them. And the first day I did it, 45 seconds, my knees were on the ground. I'm like, oh, my God, we still got 5 minutes to go. We got 4 minutes to go still. Oh, man. And then finally I got it. I went from 45 seconds, I went to a minute 30, then from minute 30 to two minutes and 50 seconds, and then from there I just kept it going. I hold an answer for 5 minutes. And like, I joke, I talk, I'm like, man, that clock is messed up and stuff like that. And he lied. And it's been fun. It's been real fun. You know what I mean? It hasn't been no type of hostility, no type of nothing. I explain to him how I feel. He tells me you got to keep on pushing it. If you're tired, you got to keep on pushing it. But I tell him, like, how I feel. And he tells me, after we're training, he tells me, look, keep it up. You're looking a lot better. He sparred with me the first sparring. He sparred with me, and he told me we sparred yesterday again. My last sparring was yesterday. And he told me from his first sparring to this sparring, you are such a different fighter. You right now are like, it's so hard for me to attack you because I don't know where your punches are going to come from. As from the first one, I was just going to you. I was just going to you and doing whatever, you know what I mean? Like coming into you and doing whatever I wanted to do. But here, you had me thinking. Every time you were set up, you would come back with something. Bye-bye. And then walk away and then come back. And in the beginning, it was just like I was so tired. I would just walk right straight into it with my hands up. You know what I mean? Earmuffs on, and let's go. And now it's like I'm more mean. Like I'm back into my action. Like my hands where I want them. My hands moving around. My bouncing back. Everything back. So I mean, he's done a great job inspiring me and like motivating me. He man is like a God gift. You know what I mean? God blessed me with a great trainer. After 8 years, me being in one system for 8 years, to switch and already, me acostumbré. I got already I adapted to his style already. You know, so like. I feel good, man. I feel great. I feel wonderful.
You know, it sounds like he's training your mind as much as he is your body, and I would guess.
Man, he's amazing. Like he's a great person. They're very understanding, and like in the beginning, I had heard things that he likes to get into it with his fighters, and I haven't. He's been with me. It's been with me like a gift from God, man. It's been great, and like every other fighter that he has in there, is like they feel like I tell them and they're like, yeah, man, he's like that. He's real cool, and they like you know what I mean. It feels good. It feels good to have somebody that I could joke around with, and when I'm sparring with him, like he hits me with something, I tell him, bye-bye, and I try to hit him back. And he looks at me, and then we start laughing because it's like something, like a reaction, like that he wanted me to get, you know what I mean? Like the reactions and stuff like that. And it's like, he's like even holding hand mitts. When he always hold the pads for me, if I don't put my hand up, he's just slap the piss out of me. Pa! Slap me. Pa! Pa! And one time I caught him, and I said, I put my hand up, and he looked at me. He's probably like, oh, you caught me, huh? I was like, yeah, you ain't hitting me no more.
Well, is there anybody out there, all-time favorites of yours, other than Scully himself there? Is he a fight career that was pretty decent? How about other all-time greats that you've tried to pick stuff up from over the years?
Who's been my fight? I couldn't understand. You kind of broke up.
What would you say are your favorite fighters, basically, you know, all-time favorites?
Oh, My favorite fighter of all time has always been Hector Camacho. That's like, since I was a baby, that's my mom and my dad. They like real big boxing fans. They've been boxing fans all their life, and like my favorite boxer has been Hector Camacho all my life. I mean, may he rest in peace. And like That's why I wear my uniforms and stuff like that, and my boxing style and everything. I may be a little bit more aggressive than Camacho, maybe a lot more. But I'm like when he was at 130. Remember when he was at 130? That he was like real fast and real aggressive. That's the type. But Camacho always been my favorite, like always. And I got a couple of other favorites that I like too, but that's my all-time favorite. I like Sergio Martinez. I like Lennox Lewis. You know, I like Tito Trinidad. I like Alfredo Gomez.
So you like Camacho so much? Does that mean we're going to see you in a leopard print thong coming out in your next fight, or what?
I don't go that far like that. I'm a little bit more shy than him, but like I wear like kind of skirts like that, like he used to wear and stuff like that. I'm very flashy. If I look good in the ring, if whatever I wear, I gotta look good. So from like I got a saying that if you look good, you perform good. You know, so.
Yeah, we had Hector Jr. on. I think it was last year now. And it was our most listened to episode ever. He's definitely got people behind him promoting his star. But yeah, he talked a little bit about it and how much inspired him and all that. Totally horrible way to go. The father down there in I think it's in Colombia, if I remember correctly, he got shot there.
Another fighter that I liked a lot. You remember Finito Lopez?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was one of I'd be watching his tapes every once in a while, like, because he was amazing too. But like I said, my all time favorite is Hector Camacho.
Cool. All right, we're about to head out to the end of our show. Anybody you want to thank or give a shout out to, or let you go?
Yes. First of all, I want to thank God for blessing me, man, for giving me health and life and having my kid be born. You know, I got a 3-year-old and a 4-month. She should be 4 months on the 28th of this month. And my mom and my fans and my team and you guys for giving me the opportunity for expressing myself and giving me this interview and putting me back basically on the map again. And I promise y'all that I'm gonna give it my all, and y'all won't be disappointed. I'm gonna come out. I'm gonna come out roughly with a victory, no matter how. When by knockout or decision, I'm gonna work hard. Even I told whatever happens, let it happen. You know, I mean, I'm in this to win it, and I'm gonna go in there, and that's what I'm gonna do. And I wanna thank. You know what I mean? Everybody who been there behind me and pushing me and telling me to come back and stuff like that. My partners, Worldwide Elite Entertainment, thank you for, you know what I mean, for everything. I mean, I'm very appreciative. My mind is clear and I'm happy. So that might be dangerous for Epifanio Mendoza. I know he's a big puncher, he's a veteran and everything, but like I said before, everybody in this weight class is a big puncher. So.
Second warning. Great having you on. How do people find you online? You got a Facebook?
Yeah, I got Facebook, Francisco Palacios, and Twitter is Wizard Palacios.
Wizard Palacios.
Wizard Palacios, that's on Twitter, and on Facebook, I'm Francisco Palacios.
All right. Well,
all right.
Hanging out with us tonight.
Oh, man, thank you very much. God bless you guys, man, and all the glory to God, man. And thank you very much.
Good luck, Francisco. I know you're going to put on a great show.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. That's what I'm going to do. Thank you.
We'll be watching.
Keeping an eye on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
All right. Good night.
So, you might have a minute or two left. Extended time. We can't see your games. One story I promised to get to this week that I didn't want to get to now. I kind of joked last week, even though it's not really a joking matter, about this amputee boxing week, saying last week I said I'd have to cut my own leg off to get to 185 again. But it's actually a serious thing down Alamo City, San Antonio area. And they're going to compete. The National Amputee Boxing Association will compete at Cowboys Dance Hall on September 27th. And their founder, Shaman Owensby, said, "We're trying to make a difference in boxing and adaptive sports. These guys aren't disabled. They're just injured. They're as much of an athlete as anyone else. They just need the right league for amputees." And this is actually four-leg amputees. A lot of, obviously, veterans from the Iraq and Afghanistan wars getting the benefit of this. And, you know, obviously boxing would be pretty hard to do without the upper limbs. So pretty much lower limb veterans and non-veterans. And, it's a pretty good idea. I think it's a great thing. And, you know, guys run, like Pistorius, the guy who just got off the burner today, he ran with no legs, so if you can do that, you can obviously box with one leg. good stuff for sure. Another story I didn't get to last week, Pavel Molak, boxer going into MMA. He had a fight with Delvin Rodriguez back in 2011, ended up as a draw, but it was the Boxing Rifle Association of America's Fight of the Year. He retired just a few months after that bout, announcing on his Facebook page that he was through. And that was after the rematch that he lost to Rodriguez. But he was not through with MMA. He did his debut October 11th. And I don't know who his opponent's going to be just yet. Holly Holm, Gopher Boxing, and Division 1 FC's Anna Julie. Just lost her first bout. Okay. Of course, James Toney, unfortunately, the first major boxer to take that beat and get the biggest payday too, I think. But he had a pretty big record: 29-2-1 with 19 knockouts. He was ranked number 3 by the IBF at light middleweight, and had a lot of tough battles against a lot of tough guys. He says, "I love what I did in boxing, but in MMA, it's a real fight. It's like a street fight in a lot of ways. In MMA, you have to master, well, not master, but you have to know a lot more than you do in boxing. It's like unlocking a puzzle. You may try this, but then he'll do this, so you have to do this. Everyone has a strength, and you have to be able to exploit it. But you have to be prepared to deal with everything, because you're going to see a lot more than you would see in boxing." So he also said, "The sport of MMA is evolving all the time, and the guys are so much more complete fighters now than they ever were. In the past, the guy with one strength could go a long way, but you really have to be well-rounded now because guys are training and everything from the start." Pretty good stuff. Anyway, that's all we have for this week. And left a lot of news on the table that I wasn't able to get to tonight, but we'll try to catch up next week. We'll try to get one of Tom's guests. He suggested about 7 of them by now that I haven't even gotten around to contacting yet. So we'll start getting some of them on, strung together.
Yeah, I can send you Gorilla Jackson's phone number, and he's the Bellator guy. But we got some other ones too, so it'll be good. Tony, me and Rich will be over to watch the fight. I know you're going to order it. Okay, what time you want us to swing by?
Actually, I don't need to order it. I know what's going to happen.
Man. Pretty good comeback.
If Mayweather sticks
tonight, I won't even be in the area. I'm going to be about 10 shots in before the Phillies game even starts on Saturday.
All right. Well,
you know, we always do that every year when we go, the weekend either before or around my birthday. It always seems to be the one pitcher that pitches that I can't stand. So me and my one friend, we have a pregame bet that I can do more pregame shots than any till last. And I usually think I can get away with 3 or 4. And then my one friend will end up buying them, and they'll buy me 10 just to make sure that I win. And then I win, but I don't remember much of the game.
Well, it's a good thing you're not writing the after fight report.
Yeah, that's true.
But if Floyd... I'm telling you, if Floyd Mayweather wakes or sticks his tongue out when you said he was gonna, then we're gonna have to take Tom's nickname away and give it to you.
Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna lose it. Yep, in a fair competition. Jeez.
All right, that's all tonight, and we'll see.
All right, guys, let's enjoy the fights this weekend. Lots of them coming.
You really got that for me today.
Great guest tonight. Thanks for everything. So, adios.
Kershaw, every way, I think Trout is the guy that has, He's not put up medal numbers yet. He's close. But I think he's a once in a century player who has the chance to be the best player that ever played the game.
Amazing. We began this show with Giancarlo Stanton, the leading candidate for the MVP of the National League, being carted off after being hit in his face. We will update you with information as we go along here. It seems he is moving to some degree here, but this is a serious injury to a great, great player. We'll keep you up to date as Baseball Tonight goes on.
So then that's something.
who lead them to ask questions. You know, is there anything that they can do? And I don't think there is.
Jason, they were around that helmet. I think you're going to see Major League Baseball say, make that mandatory. Because they can't do it for pitchers. There's nothing you can do for pitchers. I don't believe anything. But they can actually make them wear those face guards for hitters. And
the players can get accustomed to that. A lot easier than they have to talk about with pitchers.
If I were in charge of baseball, I would have every little league player wear a mask over his helmet. Every single one until they got to be 12 years old so they could get over fear. Alright, enough of the bastard. Let's go get the highlights from this afternoon. They don't mean anything to what we watch, but this is the Twins and the Indians, and this is Carlos Santana. And fellas, this guy has got it going. That home run number 26 in the sophomore is 435 feet. They really believe that once he got off third base, he got more comfortable. He felt like he could concentrate on hitting again, and we're seeing that strength. And this is Yan Gomes, who's not only a terrific defensive pass, but he's a pretty good player, pretty good offense, very great model. But he does, he should, because of the things that he does.
Thank you.
want to inform them that they discuss this at home. As we thought, it would be better this way. Would anyone like to advise why I'm while we sure if anyone has all the problems?
You don't have to do this in
trouble. Oh, no, it's no trouble, baby.
Yeah. don't go out of the house until the fast track is back. I
Thank you.